This is the Sean and Al Wrestling Podcast. We're here to talk about what's going on in the world of wrestling. We got a big weekend coming up. We got NXT TakeOver. We got WrestleMania. Shine that belt up nice and shiny there, Brock, because Roman's going to have it till 2037. Ronda, you better not suck, because you're facing my favorite wrestler, Triple H. I think it's kind of embarrassing that you get to steal him away, kind of wasting his talent. Undertaker, you coming? Nah? This is the Sean and Al Wrestling Podcast. We're about to bring the noise.
That was my co-host, Alan Swanson. My name is Sean Reedy. Thank you for listening to the first ever edition of Sean and Al's Wrestling Podcast. Hopefully the first of many. As you can tell, Al's fired up for WrestleMania weekend, as am I. We got a ton going on. I guess I'll do a brief introduction of myself and why you should listen to me. I am a crazy person about wrestling. I have literally been reading the Wrestling Observer since I was 8 years old because my dad was a subscriber. I was an 8 year old reading about pay-per-view buy rates and house show attendance, and I was fascinated by it. And basically, I don't have a first memory of watching wrestling. I've been obsessed with wrestling since I have conscious memory of life. My first memories on this planet are watching Flair Steamboat with my dad in 1989. I'm kind of old. That was when I was 4 years old. So yeah, most normal people aren't obsessed at 33 with the same thing that they're obsessed with when they're 4 years old, but I am, and here we are. That's where we're doing a podcast. Al, any intro you want to do for yourself?
Sean's a smart guy. I'm the loud guy. I get a little fired up from time to time, so I hope you enjoy it. My first wrestling memory was a Monday Nitro, Kevin Sullivan, Hulk Hogan, I'm guessing 1994. I turned it on.
Nitro started in 95.
It must have been 95 then. That was the first memory that I had, and I saw it, and that was it. I knew I was going to watch it forever.
Hooked ever since, huh?
Hooked ever since.
There is something about wrestling. I've said this to people, on the internet. It's like it puts something in your brain if you watch it when you're a little kid, and you can't stop watching. It's just the most addicting thing in the world. You're just chasing that high,
right,
that you got, that you remember. You want to feel the same way that you felt when Austin was going after Vince with a Zamboni or whatever, and it just hooks you. I don't have an explanation for why we're still so addicted to this, but we are. But you can follow us on Twitter at Sean and Al Pod. That is S-E-A-N and then and as in A-N-D, Al Pod. But feel free to follow us there, and we would love to hear from our listeners. And we're going to get right into it. One thing you're going to learn as you listen to our show is we're not here to waste your time like some other podcasts. We really want to just get into the meat of things. So let's talk about WrestleMania.
Let's talk about WrestleMania.
So,
the showcase of the immortals.
Is it okay if I start with an emotional monologue?
Yes, absolutely.
I want to talk about what to me is the biggest part of WrestleMania.
Bobby Roode?
Well, his entrance should be awesome. I'm looking forward to whatever they do with him in that entrance. But I was actually referring to Daniel Bryan's return to the ring after 3 years.
Okay.
So, I'm going to need some music here. So if somebody can hit some music. Okay. Just let the mood set. All right. Let's talk about Daniel Bryan and Daniel Bryan's return to the wrestling ring. It was about 1999 or 2000 when I was a young internet tape trader watching Shawn Michaels Texas Wrestling Academy. I was watching videos because actually a lot of people don't remember that Shawn Michaels had a return match between 98 and 2002 where he was wrestling a masked Paul Diamond. But I remember from those tapes, the opening match, the very first thing I saw was a young American Dragon against Spanky, guy wearing a mask. Thought the match was awesome. Great grappling, high flying, all sorts of stuff. Fast forward a couple years, 2002, Ring of Honor's first ever show, the main event. Chris Daniels, I think it was Low-Key and Bryan Danielson. And they launch Ring of Honor, and here we are 16 years later. Ring of Honor is going to sell 5,000 or 6,000 tickets tomorrow night. Let's fast forward 2 years to 2004. My pal Al and I go to the very first Ring of Honor show in Chicago. Do you remember that?
I do. I do remember it.
Now, what do you, be honest about what was what I did to you?
I love wrestling, but Sean loves it a little bit more, to say the least. The show was kicking off at 8 p.m., and Sean felt that we needed to leave our houses at roughly 3:30 in the afternoon to assure that we were the first people to arrive. We got there at about 5 o'clock, 3 hours prior to even the doors opening.
Four parking spaces at the building,
right.
And we got one of them. I don't think the wrestlers were there by the time we got to the so excited for the first Ring of Honor show in Chicago. So anyways, the second biggest match on that show pre-intermission was a young Bryan Danielson versus Homicide. I remember before the match even started, the crowd started chanting, "Holy yes, holy yes." You'll learn as we do this podcast that I don't swear a lot and Al can swear like a sailor sometimes. So. But yeah, Homicide and Bryan Danielson had a fantastic match at that first Ring of Honor show. I remember in 2006... I saw Bryan Danielson and Colt Cabana in a 2 out of 3 falls match that went 60 minutes. 5 minutes into the match, Bryan Danielson fell out of the ring and separated his shoulder. He wrestled the next 55 minutes with his arm dangling. I thought they should probably do like a improvised countout or disqualification or something, but Bryan Danielson had such passion for what he was doing that he went through and wrestled another 55 minutes versus Colt Cabana. 2010, Al, you and I were at Night of Champions, him against The Miz for the Intercontinental title. He beats Miz for the title, and I'm like, okay, that's probably the peak.
Sure.
That's probably as big as Bryan Danielson's going to get. That was Vince just tossing us a bone. But then we go the next year, again in Chicago, a show that Al and I went to, Money in the Bank. In the opening match, the SmackDown Money in the Bank ladder match was Daniel Bryan winning that. And as Daniel Bryan has said, and I thought he might be the first one to cash in and lose, because it just seemed crazy to me that Daniel Bryan was actually going to be WWE champion, but he did win that. And that takes us to another show. Al and I have been to several WrestleManias together, and we went to Miami. Oh, Miami. Daniel Bryan in the opening match, and how excited was I standing up, doing the yes chant in my glory. Everybody was excited. He'd finally made it to this moment. Him and Sheamus, oh, they're going to tear the house down for 20 minutes. I think it was 18 seconds, was it? Infamous brogue kick. Do you remember my mood for the next hour of the show?
You were pretty upset. You know, you were hoping to see a gem, and you saw an 18-second match.
I was depressed until the Undertaker, Triple H, Hell in the Cell match brought me back.
Incredible.
But the next night, do you remember the next night? We went to Raw.
I'll never forget it.
The creation of the yes chant. Daniel Bryan wasn't even on Raw, but the crowd spent the whole night doing the yes chant at any opportunity, launching the phenomenon that has lasted all of this time. He wrestled in the dark match. The crowd went nuts for him. Whenever he tagged out of the match, the crowd booed. Do you remember after the show, people going down escalators, people in the streets just doing yes chants, just this thing that had been invented that night?
There was literally not a single person that wasn't giving the yes chant leaving that building. And when it got to the streets, it got even crazier. It was the show didn't stop after they told us to get out of the venue. The excitement that was there for Daniel Bryan was just something that you needed to be a part of.
So that takes us to New Orleans,
yep.
Another WrestleMania that Al and I were at. We all know the story of how it wasn't initially planned. It was supposed to be Batista, but it ends up with Daniel Bryan winning the championship. Super emotional, an emotional high. Everybody's pumped up. And then seemingly for the last 4 years since then, it's been one bad news after another for Daniel Bryan. He got hurt shortly after that, came back in 2015, got the concussion. And we have not seen Daniel Bryan wrestle for 3 years. My favorite wrestler in the world is making his return on Sunday night at WrestleMania. Are you as excited about them? You're not as excited as I am, but are you pumped up for him and Shane against Sammy and Kevin?
I like Daniel Bryan. I like him a lot. He's incredibly talented. The big moments that he was a part of, you know, winning the title at WrestleMania, getting the support from the crowd, his ability to, you know, create that excitement is absolutely incredible. And he's just an amazing talent. We've obviously missed him for the last couple of years. I guess the thing for me is that I want something bigger for Daniel Bryan.
Interesting.
And as much as I like Shane O'Mac and all of the amazing memories that he's created for me, and I really also like the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn dynamic, I think they're phenomenal. I wanted to see Daniel Bryan come back and be in the main event of WrestleMania. That's what I wanted. The last time we saw Daniel Bryan, he had both those belts. He was given the yes chant. People were going crazy. It's what everybody wanted. And now he's a mid-card guy at WrestleMania in a sense.
Well, shoot, man. I thought I was being a good fan by being excited for this match. Now you make me feel like I'm not supporting him enough. Maybe you have a point. Maybe this isn't a high-profile enough match. But you do have to know that in Vince McMahon's mind, anything involving a McMahon is a big deal. They don't give away McMahon matches, you know, for nothing.
For sure. Absolutely. And, you know, everything Shane has done since he's come back has been good. You know, he's had phenomenal moments that have just made you re-fall in love with Shane McMahon. So, you know, I think Shane can bring it. I think Shane can definitely put on a match that the people want to see. Go ahead.
That brings us to a question, though. He had hernia surgery, yeah. I believe, 2 weeks ago and was also diagnosed with diverticulitis.
Yeah.
Is Shane going to, like, really wrestle in this match? Is he healthy enough to do that? That sounds crazy to me. I've never had hernia surgery, but this doesn't sound like a good idea. What that makes me nervous about is, does Shane not do much wrestling, and then he comes in and turns on Daniel Bryan, and we have a new heel McMahon authority figure,
yeah,
and a feud going there? Do you think they could do that?
I think they should do that. I think that sounds like a fantastic thing. The thing that I'm worried about is that when somebody has diverticulitis and has a hernia issue, my worry is that the day of WrestleMania, is he going to be able to wrestle at all? Diverticulitis is one of those things that can have you miss work for weeks and need to go to the hospital and have surgeries to adjust. And what if he has a flare-up of diverticulitis the day of WrestleMania, and then they need to put somebody else in? Who do they have fill in for that role if Shane can't go on Sunday?
I don't even know about that, but my thought is maybe he doesn't wrestle, and the plan isn't for him to wrestle, and the plan is just for him to turn on Bryan. Or maybe Bryan just wrestles the whole match and Shane's just on the apron.
Let me ask you a serious question.
What?
How upset would you be if we had another 18-second Daniel Bryan match at WrestleMania?
You know what? I wouldn't love it, but because he really is back and we'll get to see him next month, and you and I are going to see him at Money in the Bank, theoretically, in Chicago, I would not love that, but, you know, we'll see what they do story-wise. Really, my biggest fear is that he does get injured again, because I have been so excited about this. If he gets another concussion or something happens to his neck again, that would really bum me out. Another aspect of this match to talk about are my boys. I love these guys, and you said you support them as well. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. I've been watching those guys again. Another couple of guys that we saw back in Ring of Honor at the Frontier Fieldhouse in Chicago Ridge, Illinois. I don't think you went to this show with me, but I saw, at that time, Kevin Steen and El Generico against the Briscoes in a ladder war in 2007, and it was amazing and tore the house down. I have been a fan of them since then. It was really Kevin and Sammy that launched the NXT brand when Zayn beat Neville for the belt, and then Owens came out as his best friend and turned on him and powerbombed him on the apron. There was a while there I didn't think Sammy was going to make it on the main roster. He was jobbing to Aiden English in SmackDown mid-card matches. I kind of was resigned to the fact that Vince just hated this pale newspaper-looking guy. But here these guys are in a big spot.
Well, I think it was really interesting with Sami Zayn, watching him do such a great job in NXT and have such incredible matches and really drive the growth of NXT that you spoke of. And he gets to the main roster. He has a stupid gimmick. And the crowd still was behind Sami Zayn because they knew what they were getting. But Vince did nothing to try to get him over.
No.
Until they finally stuck him with Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Now we're really seeing some traction. And I think Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens together they're right where they should be in the main event on SmackDown. I think they're two of the highest quality guys that the SmackDown roster has to offer. That's what I think.
I think they're great. I've enjoyed them carrying the SmackDown brand for the last several months. I can't believe Vince let himself take a shoot headbutt from Kevin Owens and almost, you know, risk death in the middle of the ring to get a feud over with Shane. You know, I'm a SmackDown guy, personally. This is something that if you become a regular listener of the podcast, you'll know that I'm a Team Blue guy. I like that it's 2 hours, and it usually features my guys like AJ and Zayn and Owen, so I hope that none of them get drafted to Raw in the Superstar Shakeup. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, because once we get past this match, what is Daniel Bryan's next feud going to be? Is he going to go for the title? Is he going to go after Zayn and Owens? Is it a heel Shane? I guess we're going to find out. So, The next thing I want to talk about isn't even a match exactly. It's the weirdest thing. You know, Vince McMahon has been booking pro wrestling for 35 years now. And I got to give this guy credit. At 72 years old, he's still coming up with new wrinkles. He has a story with two of the greatest legends in the history of the company, in John Cena and The Undertaker. And they've done the story over the last month of Cena continually calling out Undertaker and Undertaker not responding to his challenge. And all they've advertised for WrestleMania is that John Cena will be there as a fan. So I don't know, is John Cena going to be like front row opposite the hard cam starting this is awesome chants and doing the yes chant? Or what do you think we're going to see Sunday as they start this thing out?
I have no idea what we're going to see.
What do you think of them doing the build this way?
I love it. I love it because I have no idea what's going on. You know, are we going to start out WrestleMania with the Dead Man's Music hitting? And are we gonna see an opening match of The Undertaker and John Cena? I mean, that could really happen. That could be the opening match at WrestleMania.
It absolutely could.
And it could potentially suck. That's my worry, okay?
That's true as well.
My worry is that this is something that we should have seen 5 years ago. And if we would have done it then, I think we would have had a really good understanding of how good those two's chemistry would be. And I worry that now, at this point of The Undertaker's career, you know, that match last year with Roman Reigns, that was not the way that I imagined Vince wanted to end WrestleMania.
That was rough.
And I don't think that we can... You know, I just don't think we're going to see the same style of match we would have seen a couple years ago, too.
Well, he had a bad hip, and he had the hip surgery.
Yeah.
I've had several older, comparing The Undertaker to my mom and my aunt, but yes, they had hip surgeries and were moving around a lot better afterwards, so I don't know if it's going to be a better Undertaker. There's rumors that there might not even be a match, though. Mike Johnson at PW Insider, I believe, said it might just be like a confrontation or an angle. Would Vince really do all of this teasing and not deliver a match, though? That seems crazy to me.
Undertaker is not in he's not on the poster that advertises for WrestleMania. That's why I could definitely believe the fact that he's not going to wrestle. How could Vince, a business genius, how could he not put The Undertaker on the poster that sells WrestleMania? That's the part I can't understand.
If I were an investor, I would not love the way they've handled this feud.
For sure.
If I were an investor in the company, I say, you bring The Undertaker's butt out there a month ago and have him point at that stupid WrestleMania sign. And that's, but as a fan, I'm kind of like what you said. It's different. It's fun. It's exciting. We have no idea what's going to happen. But is Cena going to be in the front row? Is The Undertaker going to show up at the start of the show? Is it going to be the main event? Is it going to be a match? It's really uncharted territory in the history of WrestleMania and WWE wrestling.
If they do have a match, I know I spoke a little negatively about The Undertaker, but what if they had a match that was very similar to what Goldberg and Lesnar did? Very quick, very high paced.
That was great.
Very fun, and it's not a 30-minute snooze fest like we've seen with some of The Undertaker's matches over the last 5 years in WrestleMania.
Well, I think everybody kind of expects we've got the WrestleMania. I mean, I think Curt Hawkins kicked out of an AA on SmackDown at some point last year. I mean, Cena's finisher, he's going to hit like three of them. Undertaker's going to hit three tombstones. They're going to do the kickouts. It just seems to be the formula that they like if they have a match. But how about this angle? Let me throw this at you. So last year at WrestleMania, another thing that makes this so bizarre is that they did everything in the world to make you think that this was The Undertaker's retirement last year. And I was at the show and gave him like a 10-minute standing ovation, and I kind of feel a little cheated at this point. I'm like, what was I cheering for if he's still wrestling? But he left his coat and jacket in the ring. He did not leave his motorcycle in the ring. Do you think there's a possibility Kid Rock is going into the Hall of Fame? Do you think there's a possibility that we hear American Badass?
I didn't even think of that being an option, but I think that that is probably the route that they're going to go. And to be totally honest, I don't like that at all. I think that's boring. I think that's one of those things that just isn't a good fit for WrestleMania. And, you know, because you go back to that time where The Undertaker was the American Badass. And for me personally, those weren't my favorite times with The Undertaker.
It really wasn't a great period of his career in ring.
No. Oh, it was awful.
then again, the whole company kind of sucked from like 2001 to 2004. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. To me, that might be like what they're setting up all this mystery for, is because he's going to do the motorcycle character again.
Can I talk a little nonsense?
Go for
early
it.
Into the podcast?
That's the entire point of what we're doing here.
See, here's the thing that I just keep dreaming about. As a wrestling fan, I've waited for the day that we're going to get a John Cena heel turn.
Yeah. Okay?
And I've created this vision in my mind that it's going to involve a Randy Orton, a Sheamus. I don't know why Sheamus, but he just seems like a guy that would
maybe
be...
Maybe Roman could be somebody that could use a heel turn.
Roman, and what if this was the heel turn for John Cena? He forms a faction similar to the NWO, and they just beat up The Undertaker to start off WrestleMania.
I think that would be awesome. I don't think it's going to happen. You know, they're so all in with John Cena and everything he does with Make-A-Wish and all that stuff, but... Sure, let's pop the territory.
It's time for Roman to step up.
Let's
you know?
Have Cena and Roman turn heel or whatever and dominate the roster. That'd be fun.
Right.
And the thing about groups is if you have a cool group with a cool logo, you can sell so many shirts. The Bullet Club is in Hot Topic right now, the group from New Japan and Ring of Honor. And, you know, their shirts are selling like crazy. So I think there is money in doing some sort of a group, but I don't think we're going to see a Cena heel turn, actually.
It's crazy when you're watching Raw and they're going around the crowd, how many Bullet Club shirts you see just at the WWE shows.
Yeah.
You know, let alone in public.
They should have their own.
I was at the gym this morning, and there was a guy with a Bullet Club shirt on.
There you go.
I'm not really that impressed with the Bullet Club, but if people want to keep buying their shirts, they're clearly doing it right.
They are doing it right, and Ring of Honor's, I think they've already sold 5,500 tickets for their show Saturday night, which is already their record. So you can't argue with the success of the Bullet Club, although we're getting off track here a little bit. Is this Undertaker's retirement match, potentially?
Well, I think if it is, this is where, you know, he's going to beat John Cena, and he's going to win this potential match that we don't even know is going to happen.
But Vince always makes us sad with wrestler retirements, I feel like, because you got to do the job on your way out and put over the guys who are still going to be around. I would like to see Undertaker win his last match with the Tombstone, put the two hands on him, whip the hair back, and get the pin, but I don't know if Vince will give it to us.
Well, I mean, we saw Undertaker go out on his back last year and you know, in the most miserable way to end a WrestleMania you could ever be a part of. Yeah. What you're going to learn about me is that I have a very love-hate relationship with Roman Reigns. I get it. I understand why he's important and why he needs to sell shirts and why he needs to be on top. All right, but that match was a stinker. That match was horrible. And to make that the main event of WrestleMania, it was just poorly done. And I love The Undertaker. I've been there, you know, ever since we were at WrestleMania 13. And
yep,
we were there
for that.
You know, he was pinning Sid in kind of boring fashion.
It wasn't a great match, but it got a big pop at the end.
You think back to all those amazing matches that The Undertaker had, whether it was with Triple H either of the times, whether it was with Shawn Michaels either of the times. I mean, there was just
CM Punk.
Many of these. CM Punk. We're big CM Punk guys, just so
we're going to
no
be at that show this summer. We're going to be at the UFC in our CM Punk shirts, chanting his name, his cult of personality plays, and hopefully the fight lasts more than 10 seconds, but continue.
You know, and to see him lose in the way that he did was just, it was sad. I turned off WrestleMania feeling bad.
That was my thought. I said, I think I told you this felt like I'm watching an animal being put down or something, just depressing. So in that sense, I'm happy that he is coming back. I know a lot of people are saying he needs to retire. We can do better than last year. We can do better than last year as a retirement for this guy. I wonder if it was supposed to be his retirement last year and it just sucked so much that they said, let's try again. Maybe Vince said, you can get a mulligan.
I think The Undertaker said that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that was Vince's idea at all.
I think that's quite possibly what happened here. I mean, that was a retirement last year. He left his stuff in the ring and then he went under the ramp holding his fist in the air and all the lights in the building went off and that was the end of WrestleMania. It really, if that wasn't a retirement, that was a heck of a loser leaving the ring.
It's the best being a wrestler because you can just retire and come back anytime you want, you know? How many times have we seen our favorite wrestlers retire then return?
Yep.
This is just standard practice in wrestling. This is what we do.
The Raw the next night opened with the crowd chanting Undertaker for like 5 minutes until Roman came out and got the most heel heat I've seen since Mr. McMahon in 98. But anyways, yeah, I hope they have a match and I hope it's great. So
let's say John Cena, you know, just is giving him the you can't see me, dropping the elbow, and that's the end of the match. Do you feel satisfied with that?
Well, you know, I love Cena.
Oh, of course. We all love Cena.
I love Cena. I think Cena rescued the company in 2005 from the invasion through the whole Triple H reign of terror. So I'm a big Cena guy, so I wouldn't be heartbroken by Cena winning. But if it's Undertaker's last match, I would prefer to see Undertaker win with the Tombstone.
I need you to make sure that you don't talk in that negative tone about Triple H, all right? Triple H had some rough years there in the beginning, okay? But he has made up for his mistakes over and over and over with NXT. We will only speak highly of Triple H on this show.
Okay, actually, that was something I meant to bring up before even getting into the WrestleMania card.
Right.
Was how great of a show this looks like and how deep of a show it is and how much talent there is up and down the roster. I remember, 5 years ago, sitting in a cold football stadium in New Jersey watching matches like Ryback against Mark Henry and Chris Jericho against Fandango and, the SmackDown title match, Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger. Boy, that was a fun time sitting in New Jersey watching that show. And now here we are 5 years later, and there's so much talent up and down the roster, and a lot of it is because of what, as I call him in his backstage position, Uncle Paul, Triple H, has done for us with NXT over the last 3 years. He's brought so much talent to the main roster.
The ability for NXT TakeOver to be my favorite wrestling show that I watch all year long, every single TakeOver, it gets better and better and better and better. And they have never let us down. They have not had one slip up. They have all been very good. And so when you look at this TakeOver card, I think this one looks worse than all the other ones. But I trust the system that Triple H has created because he's never let me down. And obviously there's a lot of talent on the NXT roster right now. Obviously it has the potential to be the best one that they've ever had. But when you look at it on paper, don't you have some questions about it?
We'll get to TakeOver. We're going to do TakeOver after the WrestleMania.
The real stuff. Yeah. The real stuff. We'll get to the real wrestling then.
I think this might be like the one time that the WWE pay-per-view is better than the TakeOver just because the show looks so good, but we'll see.
I hope that's true.
The great thing about TakeOver, though, 2.5 hours at the most. These 6.5 hour WrestleManias, I'm not mad that I'm not going this year. It's just you're not meant to sit in a football stadium for that long.
I don't want to sit in front of my TV for 6 hours. And think about it. I want to take you down a little road right now.
Okay.
It's Sunday. You're watching football. You know, you order a pizza. You get ready to rock. 12 o'clock hits, you know, and you sit down and watch football.
Right.
How bad do you feel at 6 p.m. when you haven't gotten off your ass and you've done nothing but lay there all day?
I do it 17 times a year, and I know that feeling very well that you're talking about.
Why is Vince doing this to us? It's 2.5 hours. Maybe WrestleMania should go 3.5.
Yeah.
But it's just too much time. 6 hours. Sean and I went to SummerSlam, and we showed up 2 hours late because they just started matches in the middle of the day before the people even got there. It was the most unbelievable thing. And we walk in and the Hardys are out there wrestling, and my immediate thought was like, how could we have possibly showed up to SummerSlam late? We came to Brooklyn to go to SummerSlam. We showed up late and there was 13 people in the whole stadium.
Yes. So anybody listening who's in New Orleans, get to this show at around noon. Get to the Superdome, because we don't know. That is a true story, that we went to SummerSlam and got there. We thought just fine, like an hour and a half early, and the show had already started. I think we missed a cruiserweight match, or I don't even know. But since we're talking about Triple H, let's talk about what probably in Vince McMahon's mind is the biggest match on the show. Ronda Rousey teaming with Kurt Angle against Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. This Ronda thing is a major... I can just tell this is a major thing for them. I think Vince might love Ronda more than he loves Roman. I think this is a huge project. What do you think? How do you think it's been going so far? And what do you think of the match?
I definitely have concerns about how much Kurt Angle's going to be able to bring it. When he was paired up with the Shield, he didn't look like he was in the type of shape to have a WrestleMania match.
He can't really walk upright.
He can't walk upright. He can't move his head. You can see he's got some issues in his shoulders. And so my worry is that that puts a lot of stress on Ronda Rousey to really perform. And as exciting it is as it is that she's there, I think some of the segments that she's been a part of have kind of bombed. I think some of the moves that she's had to perform have kind of bombed. I haven't had a moment yet where I've just been super excited or blown away by Ronda Rousey. Now, she can potentially get better, but I love Triple H and Stephanie so much. Triple H's matches at WrestleMania are usually the best match of the night. And so when we're going to risk that...
You're going to get some people not happy with that statement, but...
Listen, I'm saying...
Al loves Triple H.
We go through the last WrestleManias for 8 years. We can pick through the Triple H matches and clearly agree that those were the best matches of the night.
Yeah.
Over and over. So if you love him or you hate him, it doesn't matter. You have to respect that the guy has an ability to get the crowd involved, to put the person that he's facing over. I mean, think about the match with Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30.
That was my favorite Triple H WrestleMania match.
Think about the Triple H match with Sting and how good that was before they even did the run-in, which I liked, but that match prior to the run-in was phenomenal.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that didn't like that match. I thought it was great.
You go back to the Undertaker matches, both of them, phenomenal. Listen, he threw a stinker with Brock Lesnar at, what was that, 32?
29.
Yeah, it was a stinker. If those two did that again, I guarantee they could do something better. But really where I'm going with this is that, you know, I worry that should we have had someone else facing Ronda and Kurt Angle and not Triple H and Stephanie? Or are they going to be able to kind of help them get over in this match and really look the best that they possibly can look? Because if anybody can make somebody look good, it's Triple H.
Well, exactly. I think that's why you made the point. Kurt Angle can't move his neck. Ronda Rousey hasn't had a match yet. I think they need Triple H in this match desperately. Stephanie has only wrestled a few matches in her career. This is going to be a heck of a patch-together job by Triple H to try to hold this together. I'm sure they've all been down at the Performance Center rehearsing this match. This is not going to be called in the ring like it's the Rockers against the Brainbusters. I'm sure they have every spot laid out by like Vince himself. But still, you're right. Kurt Angle, we don't know what we're going to get from him. Ronda Rousey, no experience. Stephanie, barely any experience. And this is the biggest match on the show, quite possibly.
I hope it has like that 1980s feeling to it where it's slow. You know, they play the crowd up really big.
I think you'll get that.
I hope so, because I'm just trying to understand how this can be good. And I understand that they have all the spots together, but I just feel like this is a lot for Stephanie, Ronda, and Kurt Angle. You know, Stephanie's a McMahon. You know, she's going to be fine. But, you know, hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully it's the match of the night, because Kurt Angle deserves an awesome WrestleMania moment, and I hope this is it for him.
That brings me to exactly what I was going to want to talk about, a point that I don't think has been brought up enough. What a redemption story for Kurt Angle. This could be a documentary. In 2006, that company was so worried about him and thinking that he was going to, like, die that they fired him. They fired him so he wouldn't die on their payroll and just let him go right to TNA and draw a big buy rate with Samoa Joe and a big crowd. Here we are 12 years later, and Kurt Angle is in the main event of WrestleMania. What a redemption story. Good for him.
It's one of those feel-good stories for sure. You know, and the thing about Kurt Angle was, and I don't know if you agree with this, but I felt like when he got to TNA, his in-ring wrestling improved dramatically. I felt like some of his matches in TNA were better than the matches that he was putting on in the WWE. What do you think?
I love like 2000, 2001 Angle, like the Stone Cold match at SummerSlam 2001, the matches with Rock, Jericho, Triple H, He Who Shall Not Be Named. But yeah, he's a phenomenal performer, and I'm glad he's getting this opportunity, and I hope it works out. Now, my pal Al has been known to place a wager from time to time. Is that okay to say on the podcast?
I find betting on things to be entertaining, and I do it quite regularly.
Okay, so for the next few matches here, I found some odds online. Right now, They've got Ronda and Kurt at -825 and Stephanie and Triple H at +475. Now, I'm not a gambling expert, but that tells me that Ronda and Kurt are heavy favorites here, correct?
They are absolutely probably the heaviest favorites in all of the WrestleMania odds, correct?
Roman is -1200, so that's more, right?
Right.
I don't know. But they're heavy favorites. Would you hammer Triple H and Stephanie? I know you like to go against the grain in case something crazy happens. If he were to ever have placed a wager in real life, that might be his philosophy. Would you hammer Triple H and Stephanie here if you're living in Europe and have access to legal betting on WWE
pay-per-views? We definitely would hammer Triple H and Stephanie. These odds are phenomenal. We're almost getting 5-1 odds that the Cerebral Assassin and Vince's daughter win at WrestleMania. This, of course, could happen. This is absolutely the best bet of the night. This is one of those things that is worth the investment. Think of it like this. You bet $1. You win $4.75. All right, so Sean and I are going to bet at least $10,000 on Triple H and Stephanie, and we're going to be very wealthy after the fact.
Because, yeah, it is interesting to me. Like, on one hand, it seems like the obvious thing. It's Ronda Rousey's first match. It's WrestleMania. It has to finish with her putting Stephanie McMahon in an armbar and submitting her. But maybe they want to extend the feud. Maybe they want to, have this Ronda-Stephanie thing drag out for a few months.
Well, how long is Kurt Angle going to be wrestling for? Is this just a one-and-done thing?
I have no idea.
Is this a, he's going to be there 6 times a year type of thing? And I think that's what they need to figure out, because I'm okay with us doing this a couple of times. I think, when we get into the dark, the Stone Age of wrestling and the post SummerSlam, when it gets really bad.
Football season.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is a match that could help us carry through that time.
Yeah.
If we can do this over and over and over. But, I mean, how shocked would you be if Triple H hits Kurt Angle with the pedigree at WrestleMania, at the Showcase of the Immortals, and he pins him 1-2-3?
I think it's absolutely possible. So to our friends in Europe or wherever betting is legal, you might want to consider an investment in that one. You might make some money off that. But boy, they love Ronda, and this is like her big mainstream moment that they want on ESPN and Good Morning America. I don't know. We'll see.
Ronda just can't suck. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing for me. I hope that she is taking training so seriously, and I know they're doing all the documentaries on the WWE Network right now, but I need her to be above average, to be worth the investment that they're putting into her, because she's going to be in the main event of everything that she does. And if I have to watch Ronda Rousey, beat people like Sasha and Charlotte Flair and Bayley, and she's not as good as them, I'm going to have a problem with that.
So again, you are exactly reading my mind. I have a note here saying, will this experiment work or will she be getting booed soon? Because if she's not that good in the ring, and she's beating the internet favorites like Sasha and Charlotte and Bayley, she could be the new Roman Reigns, getting rejected by the audience. So
one thing I really like about Ronda, though, is that she is committed to being there full time.
That's true.
This isn't just a sometimes type of thing. She's going to be there all the time, and hopefully she's able to figure it out.
I just kind of have this vision in my mind at some point in the next few months, she's going to be in front of some smarky internet audience that's booing her and whatting her. And I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. I hope she looks great. She's an Olympic athlete for real.
Yeah.
Judo. I mean, she's been spending a lot of time at the Performance Center. So I hope everything goes great, but we'll find out.
I wonder if this is just a way for her to get back into the UFC. Is this just what she does?
No, you think
she's there forever?
I think they got her locked in for at least a couple of years.
I did not know that. I just assumed it was probably like a 1-year deal.
I think it's at least two.
Okay,
but
cool.
No, I think unlike Brock, I don't know. She didn't seem to take those losses too well.
I mean, she got beat up bad.
You know,
that's one of the most interesting parts. And speaking of the UFC, I know we're not going to cover a lot of UFC or things outside, but with everything going on with Conor McGregor right now, getting arrested, hurting people, ruining that UFC card, I mean, can you imagine if Conor McGregor makes an appearance at WrestleMania?
Is he legally allowed to leave the state of New York?
Oh, see, that's a great question. But if you're Conor McGregor, you just made $150 $60 million against Floyd Mayweather. Can you break some laws in an in an effort to create, you know, money? Because here's the thing with Conor McGregor. A lot of people are mad, and Dana's out there saying that, you know, this is disrespectful and embarrassing. But the truth is that this is the most pro wrestling segment that the UFC has ever been a part of. Whether they planned it or not, it doesn't matter. Conor McGregor's pay-per-view buys are going to be through the roof. And I don't know about you, but I'm even more excited to see this killer, savage animal inside the cage beating people up. And you know, I know a lot of people are turning on Conor right now and saying, oh, well, I can't believe he would do that. He should be banned from the UFC forever. That is garbage. And we will gladly take him in the WWE if that's the decision that they try to make. Conor McGregor's one of the best entertainers outside of wrestling right
Vince,
now.
Vince would take him.
Oh, yeah.
When Brock got popped for that steroid test and wasn't allowed to fight in UFC, he was welcomed back to WWE with open arms.
Oh, you mean 48 hours later? He yeah. flunked that steroid test on a Sunday morning, and he was on Raw the next day.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to see Conor Sunday, but he might just crash this show like he crashed the press conference. Like, he might hop over the front. I have no idea.
Conor McGregor, if you're listening, we would be honored to have you crash our show.
But it's appropriate that we're talking about UFC because that very much ties into the next match that we're going to discuss here. Maybe what Vince considers the main event is finally, after 4 years of getting ready for this moment, will we finally have Roman Reigns beat Brock Lesnar to avenge Brock breaking the streak, blah, 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 in the Superdome. Brock and Roman, are you budging at all on Roman? Is he winning you over at all?
A little bit, you know.
Me too. I'm giving in a little bit.
I mean what I'm saying here. I absolutely hate Roman Reigns. I hate everything that he does in a wrestling ring, on a mic. And I'm not saying he's not incredibly talented, and I'm not saying his in-ring performance is bad. I'm telling you right now that I hate it. But with Paul Heyman writing the script over the last 5 weeks, I think they've done a really good job of getting Roman Reigns over. And to their best ability, Roman can only get so far over because he's a bum. And you have guys like Heyman and Brock that are setting the stage for him to beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Now, here's what I hope happens. I hope we spend some time in Suplex City over and over and over and over. And I hope it's a squash. I hope Brock beats Roman bad. That's what I hope. I don't think that's going to happen. And my nightmare is that we're going to have a Paul Heyman heel turn. He turns on Brock. And now we have to have Paul Heyman with Roman Reigns, which is that gets complicated if you ask me, because we love Paul Heyman more than anybody, and then he's going to potentially be with Roman Reigns.
This is such an interesting, there's so many dynamics in this show. When you break it down, this is like the most perfect show for us to do our first podcast. You're more of a UFC expert than I am. Are there big money fights for Brock if he does leave WWE?
Well, you know, John Jones has been, suspended because of his problems that he's had. And I really think that if the UFC reinstates John Jones, that's the fight that they're going to set up. They're going to set up Brock Lesnar and John Jones. And I think that Brock Lesnar takes home over $1 million for just that one fight. And after he fights John Jones, that's going to open up for a lot of other matches with potentially Daniel Cormier, potentially, I mean, how much of a circus is the UFC going to take this? Because imagine the buys on a Brock Lesnar, Conor McGregor main event. And I understand, they're 100 pounds apart. But would you pay $60 to order that on a Saturday? I would. That's all I know for sure.
I mean, we got that boxing fight license somehow. Things can be done. It seems like, I mean, Paul Heyman, I think in media has actually come out and said Brock Lesnar is going to UFC, but we don't know how much of that is them using the idea of Brock being this traitor as a way to get him booed and get Roman Reigns cheered, because we've been trying for 4 years to find a way to get Roman Reigns cheered. So is Brock Lesnar really that for sure going to UFC, or is that just the clever storyline that they're using to manipulate the audience at Mania?
Here's the thing I think we need to ask ourselves is, why would Brock want to leave the gravy train schedule that he's on to go get punched in the face.
Right.
You know, he has to train every day to get back into the octagon. And my question is, for what? He's going to make more money in the WWE. He's going
to
take
I think he'd make more in UFC, but yes, he'd get punched in the face and have to work a lot harder and work a lot more.
I'm not sure that he would make more money. You know, Conor McGregor is obviously the face of the UFC. Mm-hmm. And in his time in the octagon, he has made roughly $13 million. And in everything combined, with video game endorsements and this, that, or the other, and in one night he was able to make $100 million fighting Floyd Mayweather, which, for the record, I felt like he won the first five rounds, but that doesn't matter. And I feel like the real money is for Brock staying in the WWE. The fans love him. Every time he releases a new shirt, you see the crowd filled with him. Every time he's in a big match, the place is up for grabs. I mean,
That main event at SummerSlam was awesome.
Yes, it was. But every match that he's been in, it has been very good if you think about it. You know, very few times can we talk about a bad Brock Lesnar match. And I know I brought up the Triple H one.
And the Dean Ambrose. Those are the two.
Those are the two. But other than that, everything that he's done has been phenomenal. And
the AJ Styles match at Survivor Series. Oh my God, that was awesome.
I mean, we might go watch that after we get done here today. It was that good.
Him and Joe.
Think about him and CM Punk back in SummerSlam. I know we're rewinding the tape, but in my opinion, that's one of the best matches I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well, this is a tangent that I'm perfectly happy to get on. I think this run that Brock's been on for the past 6 years was one of the greatest runs of all time. You and I were both there the night he made his official in-ring return against John Cena. And the match starts with him immediately tackling Cena and elbowing him in the head and busting him open legit. And it's, like, you're right. I mean, remember the three-way with Cena and Rollins at the Rumble? How great that was?
Let's go back to that night that Brock Lesnar returned, because that was a really interesting night. I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember how long John Cena had to just wing that interview? Like, Brock Lesnar, like, missed a bus or a train, and he was late. I mean, he was out there selling up the yes chance from Daniel Bryan.
Oh, you're talking about the Raw when he came back.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. When he shows up on Raw, and it just seemed like Lesnar had shown up late, and John Cena had to stall for 20 minutes.
Yeah, that was a heck of a pop, though. And boy, it's delivered. The last 6 years have been great. I hope he stays. I hope we get, Brock Lesnar versus Bryan Danielson or Daniel Bryan. Could that happen at a SummerSlam or a main event or a WrestleMania in the future?
If you want Daniel Bryan to stay healthy, I don't think that's the match that you really want, but it has the potential to be fantastic.
How about Daniel Bryan versus Kurt Angle? That's a realistic possibility now.
Yeah, that could be good.
That could actually really happen. Now, it's crazy what's going on in WWE. But how about the other thing here? Let's be honest about myself here. ECW, when I was a teenager, was my religion. Paul Heyman is still my leader. I love him so much. If Brock leaves, does Heyman leave? Does Heyman stick around? Does Heyman manage Rana or Roman? Does he? What do you think? Anything about Heyman?
I think that Paul Heyman only really wants to be around Brock Lesnar. I think the dynamic between the two of them, the fact that Brock Lesnar doesn't even want to cut promos, helps create something very cool for Paul Heyman. I just don't think, I just don't think it works if you put Paul Heyman with Roman Reigns. And, you know, I think we saw a little bit with when Paul Heyman was with Curtis Axel. You know, that was supposed to really help get him over.
And Cesaro.
And those didn't work. But when Heyman's with Lesnar, they have magic. Now, can him and Roman have the same type of thing? I don't know. And I don't even know if I want to see it. But what I know for sure I want to see is I want Paul Heyman on wrestling. That's what I want.
I do, too. It was reported in the Wrestling Observer this week that Ronda Rousey would like to have him as a manager. But we're not sure if that's going to happen because she's a babyface, and Heyman as a manager is more of a heel character. Is there a possibility of that happening down the line? For sure. Nobody thought Heyman was going to come back in the first place.
If you could stick Paul Heyman with anybody on the WWE roster, who would you put him with right now, knowing that he would be there for a couple years?
Do you know what I would do with Paul Heyman if I were God? Spike TV or the Paramount Network contacts Paul Heyman, says your contract's coming up soon. How about you and your buddy CM Punk after... he's done with his fight Let's start a reel number two, and get Paul Heyman to write a sequel to the genius of ECW. That's what I want from Paul Heyman personally. If he's not going to be running a wrestling promotion, then yes, him being on screen in WWE and influencing the storylines behind the scenes like he has with Lesnar's programs, that's a good backup plan as well. What I don't want is those 6 years we had where my only access to Paul Heyman was watching the Heyman Hustle video shorts and reading his articles in the UK Sun. So, yeah. But, to honestly answer your question, though, you said if I could put him with anybody? Huh. That's a really good question. Maybe
you think about that, and
maybe
let me...
Asuka.
Ooh, we're big Asuka guys, man. We're
she's
fans.
Another one that's not a big promo cutter, but she's undefeated and chokes people out and stuff. Kind of a Lesnar vibe there.
Now, if he was with Asuka, do you think he would then go with someone else too? Because, you know, have kind of one man, one woman that he manages, or do you think it's just one? Do you think that's the best way to use Paul Heyman?
Well, the one thing that I think is that Paul Heyman isn't going to be around to be working the mid-card. If Paul Heyman's going to be in WWE, he's going to want to be doing something very relevant, like he has with Lesnar and Punk. So that's where I look at a Rousey or a Roman Reigns. Besides that, I'm not sure. I'd have to think about that. Nobody else really jumps out to me. The odds on this one, as we were talking about our wagers, Roman Reigns -1200, Brock Lesnar +600. I don't see how you can bet against Reigns, even though the odds are so crazy.
Yeah, I mean, but the fans want to see Brock Lesnar pin him and keep the belt, right? Isn't that what everybody wants?
Even though over the last 5 weeks they've done some, in my opinion, genius manipulation of the audience of trying to make Roman Reigns the defender of the full-time passionate people who care about wrestling, and Brock Lesnar's this part-timer who's going to leave and go to UFC. I think once the bell rings, it's still going to be everybody wanting to see Brock Lesnar suplex Roman Reigns all around that ring.
So if you polled every wrestling fan in the U.S. and every person that's going to watch WrestleMania, what do you think the consensus is? Do you think it's just you and I are favoring Brock? Do you think everyone else wants to see Roman? Or do you think everybody actually just wants to see Brock suplex him over and over and over and keep the belt?
Here's what I think. I think that they are at a point of no return with the internet audience. I don't think they're ever going to get Roman to get cheered. Just like John Cena, even though he hasn't been a real main event guy in years and been having all these great matches and has been losing matches, he still gets booed. I think the damage has been done with Roman Reigns that unless they do a heel turn or something, there's always going to be that like half of the audience, the young males who are going to boo Roman Reigns. What Roman Reigns needs to do and what they need to get him to accomplish is to win over all those people who love Cena. They need to get those Let's Go Roman chants to be as loud as the Let's Go Cena chants. That hasn't happened yet. I like where they've gone with his character. I like that they have gone away from making him into the new John Cena, talking about Sheamus's tater tots, and they've made him more of a badass, cool guy who, you know, is a fighter. But I don't know if he has the charisma or the presence to get to that level that they've been trying to get him to for the last 4 years to be John Cena number two.
Right, and I think the truth is that Roman Reigns just can't cut a promo. And anybody that watches just knows, and that's the big thing.
Cena said it on TV once when they were feuding.
And that segment was fantastic, and that was one of the favorite things I've seen all year.
He said, if you're going to do this, you got to learn to cut a promo, kid. Oh, man, that was rough.
But there's truth behind why people don't like Roman Reigns, and that's it specifically. His matches are good. His in-ring ability is good.
I think he's a great wrestler.
He's got the look. I think great is pushing it.
I know. You and I kind of disagree on this. I think he's like the third best wrestler behind Bryan and Styles. You're not willing to go that far with me. I'm a Memphis guy. I love a guy who can throw a good punch.
Wow, you got to talk about Memphis wrestling and get me all fired up on a Friday.
I'm going to make you watch some 1979 WWF TV if you think Memphis isn't good. But that's a story between me and my pal Al here. Roman's going to win, and he's going to face Samoa Joe, supposedly is the post-main feud. How do you feel about that?
I love it. But I hope you know, I'm just such a big Samoa Joe fan that I want to see Samoa Joe. I want to see him with the belt. I want to see him in big matches. I want to see him. I want to see the best Samoa Joe that we could possibly see.
Another guy that we saw in Ring of Honor at the Frontier Fieldhouse back in the day.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You got an autograph from him. You paid like $30 and then you left it in my car for 6 years and it got a little, you know. Well, got a little ruined and I threw it away. I never told you.
Okay.
So, sorry about that.
Well, that's a moment to reveal here on our podcast. But did I really?
Yeah, you got an autograph. You left it in the car. It fell under the seat. Something spilled on it. I threw it in the garbage and never told you about it. I didn't want that heartbreak.
Why'd you bring it up now?
Well, you know, we needed the world to know the truth.
Oh, man. But I'm going to be bummed the rest of the podcast.
Let's go back to that Samoa Joe Roman Reigns angle. I love it. I think it's great. But does it make sense to have Samoa Joe come back and be kind of the jobber to Roman?
That's, I think, his job.
Well, yeah, but I mean, don't you want to see Samoa Joe take that next step?
Yes.
And have Samoa Joe feud with someone else and have this lead to a big match where, you know, if we're going to watch Samoa Joe job to Roman, let's do it at SummerSlam. Who else would you rather have him see wrestle?
Yeah, you're right. Maybe another Braun match or something.
I love Braun. I'm very disappointed with where he is put onto this WrestleMania card.
Let's talk about that match.
I feel what like Braun Strowman had, I think he might have had the best year out of any wrestler on the roster. He made a lot of progress on the mic. He made a lot of progress in the ring. His matches are exciting.
I think he's really good in the ring nowadays.
I think he's the best big man we've ever seen. And, you know, so you look back to the guys like Big Show and Andre and all of these. You know, Kane's kind of a hybrid, but the big guys, nobody has ever been able to move like Braun Strowman. I think he's the most athletic. I think he's the most talented. And I think that we potentially will see some really good matches between Strowman and Roman in the future. And I think it's very safe to say that that's already going to be the main event of next year's WrestleMania. I think that has to be, right?
Could be quite easily. I think there's a line of succession, actually, where it's like you had Andre, and then right when he was winding down, you had Undertaker. Now Undertaker's winding down, and you got Braun. I think Braun is in that high of company in terms of how Vince views him and how they've pushed him. I mean, they've done a million different stunts with him. They had him beat Roman clean. So, Braun had a phenomenal year. He's going to be a big star for them. It's going to be interesting to see how they are able to keep him with this momentum. There's only so many times he can turn over trucks and things like that. But him and a mystery partner against Sheamus and Cesaro. I want to see James Ellsworth, but I don't think that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Do you have any ideas on who the mystery partner is going to be?
I don't think it's going to be James Ellsworth.
It would he come full circle. He debuted by getting squashed by Braun.
I've been seeing him advertising for like strip club visits online. I'm serious. I saw one not too long ago. I'll show you after the show. I don't think it's going to be him, but I mean, who could fill into that role that would really create excitement for you?
I don't know. But I mean, to me, people have said like Samoa Joe, because that'd be an awesome like tag team. So is that the direction they go, or do they go of a more comedy aspect where it's an Ellsworth or a Kurt Hawkins or a celebrity? I mean, gosh, I don't know. It could be Shaq. He showed up at a WrestleMania once. I have no idea.
If I had to bet money right now, I would say it would be Shaq because of the fact that they're both really tall.
Did we just figure it out?
Sorry, Vince. We leaked it early. It's going to be Shaq, and he's going to drop one big knee, and that's going to be all the wrestling that he does.
Big Show? I mean, I don't know. Would anybody really care about seeing that?
I wouldn't at all. I wouldn't even blink if Big Show's music hit. And I love Big Show. Big Show's great. He had an awesome career. But at this point, he just doesn't have a gimmick. He doesn't have a role. He's just a smaller Big Show than he was before. He looks great, though. He's in the best shape of his life. Well done.
He looks good.
But so let's go back to this, though. I've spoken very highly of Strowman. I think he had a great year. I don't like this match. I think that him and, you know, Sheamus and Cesaro have also had a fantastic year of tag team wrestling.
Yes.
They've really created, you know, they've really created themselves in this new gimmick. They've done fantastic. I don't hate Sheamus anymore, and I've hated him for years. Yeah, Cesaro, in my opinion, is probably the best wrestler on the roster. But what do you think? Do you think this match will be good? Do you think it'll be bad? Are you excited for it? Where are you at?
I'm kind of into it. I like mystery partners. There's some intrigue there. I like the idea of Braun winning a tag team battle royal by himself. Yeah, I don't know if this is going to be much of a match, a comedy match, a squash match. I really don't know what to expect, but I do enjoy all three guys, and we'll see. The last kind of main event, there's five main events to the show, is the WWE title match with AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. This is, in my opinion, a smart match for them to book. If you're going to make these hardcore fans who travel from around the world, who spend thousands of dollars, if you're going to make them sit through four straight years of Roman Reigns in the main event of WrestleMania, toss them a bone with AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. Let them have, you know, some five-star match. Let everybody argue about Dave Meltzer's star rating for this match. Was it as good as their Tokyo Dome match? Is it five stars, six stars, five and three quarters? I think this is a smart match for business to book, to satisfy those people paying all that money, and should be a good match. I mean, why not?
It's the match I'm most excited about. My concern is that it's going to go off first. This will be the first match of the night.
That has happened with the SmackDown title match a couple times, like the Bryan match or Edge and Del Rio.
Definitely. I think it should be the last match of the night. I think this is wrestling at its finest. And I think that, you know, I think the crowd is going to be up this match. This is the one that is just the most, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. Is AJ Styles going to retain the title? Is this Nakamura's night where he becomes champion and this really takes us into a new direction on SmackDown Live? I don't really know what to think. I just know that it's going to be good because both these guys know how to do it at the highest level. And maybe one day we're going to talk about this match like it's Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart at WrestleMania 12.
And I think this is another time where we can kind of pause and say, how about that Uncle Paul and the changes he's made, where Vince McMahon has been talked into having a WWE title match between a guy who doesn't really speak English and a 40-year-old Southern TNA guy. Like, it's crazy that this match is happening for the WWE title at WrestleMania, and it shows how much has changed this company in the last couple of years, right?
I consider AJ Styles to be equivalent to Shawn Michaels.
Oh, I love AJ. I'm just saying, like, he's not your Vince McMahon prototype like a Braun or a Roman.
I would be guessing that he would be building the ring, you know, yeah. not in one of the main events at WrestleMania.
It's amazing the push he's gotten. It's been great.
Yeah, I mean, he's really grown as a performer. His whole look has changed. You know, he grew out the hair. He looks like a real wrestler, and his matches are as good as they could possibly be.
Yeah.
He's selling a lot of shirts. The crowd loves it. I want to see AJ Styles move into the main event on Raw, and I know you want him to stay on SmackDown because you love
willing to make that concession because Daniel Bryan's back,
right?
So Bryan can take his spot running SmackDown and then AJ can go to Raw.
But how good would it be to watch Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles go at it for 6 months and just carry the whole show
on SmackDown or Raw?
You pick. I don't care.
Give it to me on Team Blue.
Sure, let's go Team Blue.
Yeah,
we prefer the 2-hour mark and not the 3-hour nonsense.
Yeah,
so let's go do that. Let's
I think
watch
that's
those
an
guys
easy
summer,
that's an easy SummerSlam main event, or, you know, at least SmackDown side.
But do you think that is the main event of SummerSlam if they go ahead and they do that?
Why not?
Right, exactly. But we live in Vince's world. Vince is going to have Braun and Roman and Joe, and they're going to be big, and it's going to be awesome. But the main event of SummerSlam should be Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles in the biggest main event of all time. The crowd loves both guys. You don't get a lot of situations like this where the crowd loves both guys
the way they
love him.
I went to a SmackDown. I went to that SmackDown in Vegas last year. I was there betting on football, and where Kevin Owens headbutted Vince. And I couldn't believe, like, how many. It wasn't just like the internet fans that were wearing AJ Styles merchandise. Like, there were tons of kids wearing lots of AJ stuff. He has really gotten over.
He's got the theme song. He's got the cool gloves. The blue shirts work. He attracts to the kids, and you know it makes you wonder: is Vince wasting his time with Roman Reigns when he should be pushing a guy like AJ Styles to be the face of wrestling?
You know Vince though, he's got a type.
Well, he has a company that's publicly traded at $33 a share. Worth over $1 billion. Vince probably shouldn't start listening to me. You should probably just keep doing what you're doing.
I mean, Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles is a SummerSlam WWE title match. My only concern with that is, could it live up to Shinsuke Nakamura against Jinder Mahal? Could it live up to that match that we saw live in person and paid all that money to see?
How dare you even bring up Jinder Mahal in my presence?
We just pretend those 6 months didn't happen, right?
Right, exactly. And it's, you know, and Jinder's still kind of hanging around. You know, he's in the four-way match, right?
Yep. Quickly, before we get into that, odds, Shinsuke is -415, AJ +295. What do you think there?
I think you go with the heavy favorite. I think you take Shinsuke Nakamura. If you're in a gambling type of mood, I think AJ's just as good a bet as any of the others that we talked about, though.
All right. We'll get through the rest of the card here. We've got, as we were mentioning, Bobby Roode, Rusev, Randy Orton, and Jinder Mahal in a four-way for the U.S. title. How the heck is this Rusev Day stuff so over? I feel like I'm an old man now who doesn't understand things. Like, this is really what got Rusev so popular? Just that they named a day after him and he celebrates it?
They named a day after him and he started just shaking his head violently and people loved it.
They go crazy for it. We went to the SmackDown that was the night after Christmas in Chicago, and Daniel Bryan was out there trying to make an announcement and the whole crowd's chanting Rusev Day.
Right, just
they were chanting Rusev Day at the Ring of Honor show at the Hammerstein. Ring of Honor fans are chanting Rusev Day.
Do people actually like Rusev, or is this just like a fun thing that people do when they get together?
I don't know. That's kind of the question. I remember when Daniel Bryan was gaining momentum, it was like, is Daniel Bryan really that popular, or is it just the yes chant? It's fun to do. Is Rusev this popular, or is it just kind of fun to chant Rusev Day? I don't know what it is right now.
I think Rusev's, I think he's an incredible talent. I think he's done a good job for a long time. This is really the first good gimmick he's ever got. And I won't be shocked if he beats everybody and wins that match at WrestleMania.
And there was actually a rumor online, I can't remember if it was PW Insider or the Wrestling Observer, that Rusev was requesting his release from the company because he felt he was being underutilized. And they put him in this match as a concession to get him to stick around and feel good about his standing in the company.
Do you think that this is going to be one of the most exciting parts of WrestleMania is cheering for Rusev?
Between Bobby Roode getting a WrestleMania entrance with that music and the crowd's Rusev Day, this match might be an overlooked match that gets a lot of... they could kick off the show with this match, actually.
Oh, I would love it. I don't really care who wins. I think it's going to be good. I will be upset if Jinder wins. but, you know, if Randy Orton hits everybody with an RKO...
Randy's
fine.
-130.
Man. But, you know, I would prefer to have Bobby Roode or Rusev win. I'm a fan of both those guys. I really want to see where the WWE takes Bobby Roode, and do they determine that he's a guy that they're going to give a push to and give him a similar workload to what he was getting in NXT? Or is he a guy that's just a mid-card guy? Is he going to be competing for the Intercontinental title and really staying in the middle of the card? What do you think?
I don't know. When he first came in, there was rumors that he was going to be a top of the card guy, but it really hasn't happened. And maybe that is a post. We're trying to figure out where SmackDown's going to go post-Mania. Maybe that is the direction they go.
If he was 4 inches taller, I think he would be Vince's favorite wrestler, maybe on the roster. But in Vince's defense, he does look a little smaller in the WWE than he did in NXT, and I imagine that's just because those guys are so much bigger.
Sure.
But I think you could really sell the Bobby Roode gimmick to the crowd, don't you?
I don't know why he's a good guy. The whole robe and entrance and NXT thing is he's the rich Ric Flair, Triple H heel, but for some reason he's a good guy, and his character is just that he says glorious. I don't really understand what they're doing with him, to be honest. Maybe he is due for a heel turn after Mania, and he can feud with Daniel Bryan or AJ Styles or something.
Ooh, that sounds good. I hope that happens.
So, Intercontinental title match is Seth Rollins versus The Miz versus Finn Balor. You love Miz, right?
Yeah, Miz is the best wrestler on the roster.
You love
Miz. He's phenomenal.
Tell the crowd about your love of Miz.
For 8 years, the guy has been putting on fantastic matches. He stayed healthy. He never missed any time. What were we at? WrestleMania 27 in Atlanta?
Yes.
I might have been one of six people that had a Miz shirt
you were into it.
At
yeah,
WrestleMania that day.
And he retained.
They didn't even sell Miz shirts at the concession stands that day, which made me feel even cooler. I think Miz is fantastic. I think this is the match of the night. I think you have three of the top talents in the WWE all in one match. I want to see something good from Finn. I want to see something good from Rollins. And I know that Miz can job to either of them if he needs to.
Well, the odds are Finn at -170, Seth at +300, and Miz at +375.
Seth Rollins is the easiest bet of the whole weekend, folks.
Triple H and Stephanie?
Yes, absolutely. Rollins is the bet. And really what I hope happens is I hope we see Rollins and Finn in a feud that lasts, I don't know, for 15 years. Because I think that's really going to be the match that we're all going to really like to see in the future. I hope they do it right. But really, I don't care who wins. If Miz wins, great. If Rollins wins, awesome. If Finn wins, perfect. I like all three of these guys. I hope they stay healthy during the match. You know, I know last time Finn and Rollins went at it, Finn got hurt, and that was kind of a stinker. But, you know, I hope they bring it, and I'm excited to watch it.
All right, quickly moving on here. We got Asuka and Charlotte. Asuka, another thing that I think a lot of the internet didn't believe Vince McMahon would get behind. But here we are. She's been around for about 6 months. She's still undefeated. They're really pushing the streak. And she's facing Charlotte for the title. Do you think the streak lasts, or is the Superdome again the site of a streak ending?
I think Asuka's going to win. Yeah. I think that's going to be a very good match. I think we're going to really enjoy sitting down and watching that one. But, you know, I mean, it really doesn't matter which direction you go, because I think those are the two top dogs when it comes to the women's division. Obviously, no disrespect to Sasha or Bayley or any of the rest, but those are the two that you really want to build around, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, I think that'll be a phenomenal match, and I think Asuka will win as well. The other women's match, Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax, let's be honest, this isn't a match for us. This is a match for 12-year-old girls who feel like they're getting picked on at school. Kind of telling that storyline. I can see you shaking your head that you're not that excited about this match, I'm guessing.
I hate it. I think it's dumb. We're gonna sit around and call Nia Jax fat for 4 weeks, and then we're all supposed to just be happy when Alexa Bliss jobs to her.
It's like an after-school special, like Saved by the Bell or something.
It's the worst. It's the worst. I do not care what happens. This will be the time that I go make a Taco Bell run during WrestleMania to get some food. I don't care. I have no interest. I thought these segments have been horrible. I think Mickie James, I think she's been horrible in this whole thing. I'm not excited at all. Alexa Bliss should be embarrassed that she put on such a terrible showing in these last 4 weeks. I don't like it. I don't care what happens.
And lastly, we got the SmackDown tag team match with the Usos, the New Day, and the Bludgeon Brothers. The WWE, I think their app sent out a notification that it was a TLC match, and then it got like deleted. So I don't know if it's going to be a TLC match. If it is, that match would be, I think, fantastic, because we've seen some great matches between Usos and New Day. Hell in the Cell was awesome. Then you add in the two big guys who can throw around ladders and tables. I think this match is another sleeper.
Do you think this could potentially be the match that they start the show off with?
Yeah.
Yeah? And now, what do you think the odds are that they do turn this into a TLC match?
Well, I don't know. They sent something out, and then they deleted it, and it would be weird to not advertise that, but we're not advertising The Undertaker, so I guess maybe. I'd love to see it.
Right. I think it's going to be a very good match. My buddy Justin Ruff was very upset that I wasn't more excited about that match. This is the match that's really created a lot of excitement for him. You know, New Day's fantastic. The Usos are great. I love the Usos in this type of atmosphere. This is the best Usos I think we've seen. Their wrestling is top of the line. They're entertaining. They're good heels. New Day's New Day. They're going to make us laugh no matter what they do. Now, my question is, who do you think is going to win?
Let's say Usos. I don't know. They're doing the whole story of them not ever being on WrestleMania. This is their first time. Give them on the main show. We'll say give them the win.
They've never been on the main show?
No.
They've been the opening card?
No, that was the storyline they were telling. Yeah, they're always on the pre-show. That just about does it for the very first episode of Sean and Al's Wrestling Podcast. A great WrestleMania weekend ahead of us. Have fun. Enjoy it. Any last thoughts, Al?
No.
He does not. Wonderful. What a way to go out. We'll be back next week going over all of the craziness that goes down this weekend. We'll talk TakeOver, Mania, the Ring of Honor show, the Raw after WrestleMania is always crazy, SmackDown, will there be call-ups from NXT? We got the Superstar Shakeup theoretically in a couple weeks here. Are they going to screw with my beloved Team Blue? So we will be talking with you next week. For Al Swanson, this is Sean Reedy saying bye-bye, everybody.